Scripture reading this morning, before Brother Mike brings the lesson, will come from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith.
I'm always thankful to have the opportunity to come and to study God's word with you as we are here worshiping God in spirit and in truth, doing our level best as the people of God, especially the older generation, to teach the younger generation how to worship, honor, and live for Jehovah God. This month, we're going to be talking about transformed by God for good. And this particular month will be a culmination of everything that we have discussed on this particular year. As we are doing our level best to make sure that we have the basics, the foundational principles of God's word in order to apply them to our lives. And so this particular month will be that month that hopefully we'll bring all of the lessons together, because it's important that we understand that the teachings of God are applied properly, and that when we consider the reason for the teachings of God, it is for God to transform us, to change us into good. And to change us for good. In Romans chapter 12, that was read in our hearing, I'm always intrigued by Romans 12 because of the insight that it gives. Oftentimes, this particular pericope section of scripture is used at youth days and youth rallies and talking to young people to try to encourage them not to be conformed to the world. Yet, as Paul would use this particular idea, as he is begging them by the mercies of God. And when you consider chapter 11 and we think about how God was merciful to the Gentiles, thus allowing them to be engrafted into the people of God through the gospel, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Yet, when you get to chapter 12, especially the end of 11, going into 12, Paul is making a very strong point with the brethren here. And the point that he's making here is that if I, talking about God, will put out the Jews, don't you become arrogant and don't think I won't put you out either. It's interesting that he makes that point. And so what Paul does, he's begging the brethren here at Rome who were there on the day of Pentecost. And we know that according to Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through verse number 10 or 11. And so he says, I beg you, or I beseech you therefore, brethren, here it is, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which means that they were not dead sacrifices. And then he tells them how to be holy. Appreciate the song that we sung before prayer, holy, holy, holy. And Brother Payton actually capitalized on that, and I appreciated that too, because God is holy and God desires and commands for us to be holy too. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. But notice what he says, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or spiritual service. and be not conformed or molded to this world. And so when we consider what we're going to be talking about this month, we see him telling the brethren here to be transformed, there it is, by the renewing. So he tells them how to be transformed. So this transformation, if you will, is not something that man comes up with on his own, or some man-made method, or some method that is from osmosis, or something that you get from when you go to sleep and it comes through the softness of your pillow. No. It comes through the renewing of the mind. And so Paul tells him, or them rather, how to have their minds renewed. But why? In order that you may prove what is that agathos, good. Now it's important, because when we consider transformation by God for good, isn't it amazing that God wanted the brethren here to be part of something great? Part of something greater than themselves. And so he says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect desire or will of God. God has desires, and God's desires should be just like, or our desires rather, should be just like God's desires. But verse 3 is interesting. For I say, through the grace given, the favor given to me, Paul says, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. The idea there is to have clear thinking, to have a thought process that is lowly, that you're able to see things clearly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of trust or faith. And so when we stop and we consider, what is the goal for the people of God? The goal for the people of God is good. And God desires for his people to have good in their life always, and to have the attitude and the mentality that everything is for good. And so God works all things for good. And it's interesting that even Jesus, and John 10 says that we should have the abundant life. And so when we consider what is good, we stop and we think about good being the goal. Good should be our goal. And when we think about good, that goodness should be seen in everything that we do as people of God. Y'all stay with me. Because when we think about even our work ethic should be for good. That whatever we do it heartily as unto the Lord. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 23, or Colossians 3 verse 24, I'm sorry. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse number 11, whatever you find your hand to do, do with all your might. Why is that? Because we are a people who should be good. And making sure that we are doing that which promotes good. But even in life in general, we stop and we think about even our lives ought to be a promotion of good. And so when we think about adding to our faith, we add to our faith moral excellence. We add to our faith moral uprightness. Why? Because God is desiring for good to come out of our lives. And if anyone makes the claim to be a follower of Christ, a follower of God, keep in mind that when God saw his creation, especially the culmination of it, in Genesis 1 and verse number 31, he said everything was very good. And so it's interesting that even the ecclesiastical writer would say in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 29 that God made man upright, but man has sought out many inventions. God made man good. But even when God created the church of Christ, in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, even the church of Christ was created for good. And so when we stop and consider even the holistic idea of the church, the called out one, the ecclesia, called out of sin ones, 1 Peter 2, verses 5 through verse number 9. They were created for good works. And so when we think about the transformation process, and then the progress of transformation, the idea of changing of the mind, we would call it a makeover in our day. God desires to make one over, put him in a group of makeover people that they may work together to transform the community in which they are in. Transformation, a changing of the mind. For what purpose? For good. And so Jesus would tell Peter in Luke 22 and verse number 32, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Repentance is for the glory of God. Repentance is for the good of self and the good of man. When we stop and we think about these thoughts, even Jesus, turn your Bible to Acts 10 as we make some closing remarks in the intro. And verse number 38, Jesus, anointed by the Spirit, and he was sent out for a very specific reason. Here the Bible demonstrates who went out about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Why? For God was with him. Brother Leon, when you stop and you think about why are we here? We're here for good. Not the good of the world, the good of God. Not the good of our society, the good of God. The good that comes from the world and society is not always that good, but the good that comes forth from God is always beneficial. As I was studying and thinking about some concepts, I was looking at Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38, and this is one of the dangers of being a Bible student. You look at a word in the English, and you assume that that word may be this particular word in the original. And yesterday, as I was waiting for Evelyn to do some things, I was saying, let me look at this word good. I wonder if it's agathos or kalos. And it was neither. And I said to myself, what? What's going on here? And I looked it up and I said, it makes more sense that Jesus went about bestowing good blessings upon people. Jesus went about bestowing blessings upon people. Then I asked myself a question. Have we been transformed to do the same? The answer is yes, we have. And so number one, transformation defined and illustrated. You have your notes. I'm pretty sure I won't go through all of them, but I do want to give you some things to consider. Because it's important for us to understand the definitions that we're working with. Transformation means to make a thorough or dramatic change in the form, appearance, or character of. To change in character or condition. To change completely in appearance and much better. Like the transformation of a butterfly. If you think about the transformation of a butterfly, it starts out as an egg, and then it continues as a caterpillar, and then a chrysalis, and then it forms into a butterfly. It looks totally different from the time in which it first begun. And then I thought about the Greek word metamorpho, which is the Greek, which is the word for transformed in Romans 12, verse 2, which we get our English word metamorphosis. We stop and we think about the metamorphosis that God desires for us to have, that, watch this, friends, that he knows we can do. God knows that we can be someone that blows even our own mind if we would just submit to the renewing of the mind. I know for a fact that many people live beneath their spiritual privileges because they don't have enough confidence in themselves that God can really transform them by the renewing the teachings of his word. And so this is illustrated powerfully in the life of Paul. And I was thinking, what example could I use that would give us the greatest illustration of one that is transformed from one lifestyle to another? I thought about Jesus. Couldn't use him. Why couldn't I use Jesus? He was perfect. That's the problem. He didn't start off as one who was in sin. He started off perfect and he ended perfect. But the Apostle Paul started off as one under the law. He was righteous under the law. But when it came to the law of Christ, he was a sinner. Why? What did he do? He persecuted the church. He was the one that said that it was okay for Stephen to be stoned. Remember, they laid his clothing at his feet in Acts chapter 7. But then we see the transformation begin to take place when Saul is baptized in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 18. And the process continues in the life of Paul in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 6. And this was years after his transformation process. And you remember his name was Saul. And then the very next verse, Saul, who is called Paul, God changed his name. And then we see a transformation of life that just blows our mind. Turn your Bibles to Philippians 3 verses 9 through 11. Here, Paul, as we see his life continuing to grow and to manifest and to be the person that God knew he could be. Just like I know for a fact of some of us here who could live a lot better than what you're living because of the great potential you have, but fail to do so because of the lack of confidence. All of us have been there. But it's through the renewing of the mind, it's through faith and trust in the Lord and his word, it's through self-denial that we can be people, friends, that are just plain great. We can be great people. Why? Because even the Apostle Paul understood what he knew about Christ and what he wanted to know about Christ. And he was willing to put it all away that he may gain Christ. But look at verse number 9. Here the Bible demonstrates that he wanted to know Christ. Let's start at verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, these I counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is from the law, talking about the law of Moses, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Paul says, I don't want to know the law of Moses. I want to know Christ. I don't want to submit myself to a law that was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2, verse number 11 through verse 14. I want to know Christ. But notice verse 10, that I may know him. He wanted to have an intimate knowledge of Christ. The only way, friends, the only way to have an intimate relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord is through the Word of God. We have so many today who don't even read the Word, and they'll tell you, I don't even read my Bible, but I know Jesus. Transformation cannot take place without the reception and the instruction of the Word of God. Here Paul says that I may know him. I want to know him. I want to have an intimate relationship with him. I want to know everything about him. And the only way that I can know everything about him, I got to read about him. I got to take in his word that I may know him. and the power of his resurrection, watch this, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul, what do you want to know about Christ? I want to know everything about him. Question, what do you want to know about him? Transformation takes place when I know, when I'm renewed in mind. And no wonder Paul could say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse number 17, though our outward man perish, our inward man is being renewed day by day. How? Through the word of God. It's the word of God that teaches me how to know God. And even Jesus took on that attitude. And so here, he wanted to be conformed to his death. He wanted to know him. He wanted to attain to that resurrection one day. Friends, we see a powerful, transformed life in the Apostle Paul. But I would be amiss if I didn't give you 2 Timothy chapter 4. I was thinking about this. Whose life could I use as the perfect illustration? I didn't think about anyone here in our time frame. I thought about the Bible. Paul. The way that he started and the progression of his life and how he got there. And then he gets to the end of his life, James Clark, and he says something that's just amazing. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6, he says, "For I am ready to be poured out. I'm ready to be offered as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul, what are you saying? I want to know him, and I want to be waiting on him. Here you see a man that started off persecuting the church. And the next thing you know, he's preaching the church. He's persecuting Jesus. Now he's preaching Jesus. And he wants to know the one in whom he used to persecute. He wants to die for the one in whom he used to persecute. And now he's waiting on the one he used to persecute. Friends, if this is not a transformed life, I don't know one. And God uses Paul as an object lesson, as a pattern. 1 Timothy 1:16. For all generations to follow. Friends, you ought to make a covenant with yourself and God that you want to live holy for the Lord. And so when people see your life, they see how you used to be and they see how you are now. But unfortunately, there are some, not here, but there are some in our world that are just like Demas, who started off great, but he didn't end well. At least from the scriptures, it doesn't seem like he did. At one time, Paul esteems him as one that was walking with us. Demas sends greetings. And then later on, we find him saying that Demas forsook us or me for this present world. Doesn't sound like he ended well. Point number two, transformation by impression. We stop and we consider, why does God want us to be transformed? Why does he want us, friends, to be completely changed? I'm a changed man. I'm a changed woman. Is once a sinner always a sinner? If that was the case, Jesus should not have died on the cross. The word should not have came to be in the flesh. God knew that man, the apple of his eye, Psalm 17, verse number 8, the pinnacle of his creation, Genesis 1, 26 through 31, he knew that he had the ability to be great. Transformation is designed for us to be great, but God wants us to submit ourselves to the impression. And as we talked about on last week and last Sunday night, and we'll talk more about it on tonight, please come back. Please come back. For we'll have a Bible study on the transformation and how God impresses upon us his will, his word. In Romans 6 verse 17, how God impresses upon us his will. How? By that form of teaching. In 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, why? That he may impress upon us his glory, that we may be changed from one state to another state. What state is that? From the state of being a sinner to a saint, from one who has been immature to mature, from one who is unholy to holy. So we see something very interesting. God wants us to be transformed. There's no way I can claim Christianity and have the same mindset that I had before. God says, no, transformation must take place. A change must take place. One thing that just burns me up about Mike Bonner is when I do things that I used to do. And so it makes me think about how Paul had to convince the Galatian brethren in Galatians 4 verse 18. He had to convince them. Hold on. They had already obeyed the gospel in Acts chapter 13, Antioch of Pisidia. He already had taught them the truth of the word of God. He's already taught them Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he says, now I have to teach you again that Christ may be formed in you again, that you have to be transformed again. I got to impress upon you the word of God again. And so that taught me something. Like, yes, no wonder Peter would say on one occasion, as long as I'm in this tent, as long as I'm in this body, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I don't mind reminding you of the things that you already know. We need to be reminded. I need to be reminded. Here, the Galatian brethren need to be reminded. And so the mind is the laboratory in which God works. The more I thought about this, how we need to be transformed in the mind. And so it cannot be a semblance of transformation. It cannot be something that looks like transformation. It has to be transformation. I'm not trying to be mean, but I am trying to be intentional right here. When someone claims to be trans, they're lying. Because you cannot trans XX and XY. That's in you. Amen. Maybe y'all didn't get that point. Maybe I'll say it this way. When Jesus said in the beginning, God made them both male and female, he didn't make trans. Maybe y'all didn't get that point. When one claims to be a child of God, there's no trans in that state because you're changed from the inside out. See, a person cannot truly be a trans male, female, because in order to do that, you have to change the inside. You have to change the DNA. You have to change the chromosomes. One thing I love about God and spiritual things, he changes the inward man, Romans 7, 25. Therefore, trans can take place spiritually speaking. You can be a trans from sin to a saint. It's a change of mind. But you can't do that physically speaking. And so no wonder, look at Colossians 3, verse 10. Again, not being mean, that's just truth right there. And so, brethren, let us not fall prey. Let us not even give them 1 hour, 1 inch, because if you give sin an inch, it'll take a mile. It's all right to stand up for the Lord and say, no, you're not trans. You are what you was born. In Colossians 3 and verse number 10, how? I find this very powerful that Paul would say this by inspiration and have put on the new man, which is opposed to the old, who is renewed how? In knowledge according to the image of him who created him. How is one renewed? When they know. And so this is why it's important for us to search the scriptures, Jesus would say in John 5:39. Family, teach your children the scriptures. Teach your children the word of God so as they come out into or come into this world rather, because in the womb, as we discussed before in Romans 9:11, in the womb, a baby doesn't know good nor evil. outside of the womb, Deuteronomy 1, verse 39, adolescents don't know good nor evil. They have to be taught. Why? Because God made them upright. But then evil is learned over a period of time. But this is why parents have to teach their children. Parents, read to your children. Husbands, study with your wives. Wives, study with your husbands. Why? Because the renewal of mind, the transformation in the life, in the mind, takes place when I open the Word of God, when my heart is right, and I begin to make the natural changes that the Word of God will naturally produce. And so God impresses upon us. So if you look at your notes under letter B, number 3, you'll see no knowledge, no transformation. Limited knowledge, limited change, limited transformation. Great knowledge, maturity and mentality of Christ should take place. But it is true that one can have a great amount of knowledge and still not be transformed. That's true. Which means that 2 Corinthians 13:5, I need to be examining myself. So what are we saying? We're saying that if I'm going to be changed, brethren, I got to be honest with God. I need to be honest with myself. I need to make sure that God is going to get the glory out of my life so he can get good out of my life. And I'm going to benefit from it too. And so if you look at letter C, the impression made is seen in different ways. Now, this is where I brought up Jesus. Because I struggled as I was considering some of these thoughts. Where can I bring Jesus up? Eventually, I got to get to him. He's the reason why we're transforming. He's the one that we're transforming into. You got to be able to bring him up. And so I was thinking about this. Jesus, we can see how God impressed upon him his will. Even when he was a child, Jesus submitted his will to the Father. As a young child in the temple, we see him growing in grace, growing in favor. We see him as he is one who was fed by his Father, John 15, 9 and 10. Look at that closely. For Jesus knew that the Father loved him, and the Bible demonstrates in those passages, and gave me a commandment. He fed me with the Word of God. Here, we understand that God loves us enough to feed us the Word of God. We have to love God enough to go eat and drink the Word of God. But John 7, verse 16 through 18 was my favorite under this point. Look at Jesus' attitude. Because when we think about spiritual nourishment, if we're not careful, hear me out, please. If we're not careful, even the best of us can become arrogant and think that it is because of us things are happening good all the time. No, it is because we have submitted to the will of God, because we have taken his word and we have allowed his word to change our minds, renew our mind, and therefore we can't take credit. Jesus didn't even take credit. In verse number 16, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the teaching, the doctrine, whether it is of God or whether I speak of my own authority." I found that very interesting. Here, Jesus, being God in the flesh, could have easily taken the credit, but no, he gives it back to the Father. He says, it's because of the Father. It's his will. It's his doctrine. It's his idea. It's his concepts. Therefore, I got to do the same. If I'm going to be transformed, brethren, I don't care how much good we do, I do. I got to turn around and say, to God be the glory. Brethren, none of us are that good until we have God in us. And so we see why the world's going crazy. And even some in the church have gone crazy because they have stopped allowing God to get the glory in their lives. We see the impression made upon Jesus as a servant, girding himself with a towel. But I would have to say again, Mark chapter 10, 44 and 45, he said, "I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many." Here we see God impressing his will upon Jesus, and Jesus just humbling himself under the teachings of the Father, transformation for good. He allowed the teaching of his father to actually catapult him to go do good. And so, how do we do this? We do this through sacrifice, as Jesus did. We do this through suffering, as Jesus did. And there are so many examples that we could use. But brethren, when we stop and we consider the sufferings of Christ, I have to end with this: transformation for good. Do we really benefit from transformation? I believe the Bible is right. We do. But Brother Mike, sometimes transformation is just tough, because it requires a lot of reading, and it requires listening to the will of God, and it requires me coming to Bible class and worship and fellowshipping with the brethren so I can hear the concepts of God, the spiritual ideas of God, and so it can flush out my will. Ephesians 5:26. Do you know that when you fellowship with the brethren and the brethren are truly fellowshipping in the Word of God, you get better every time you come and go? I don't got time for that. Man, I ain't got time to go to Bible class. I mean, it's not really necessary, but why not? You know, the more that you are involved with the people of God, the more you put yourself in a position to get rid of that old man. Why? Because, brethren, all of our thoughts are not right. Amen. Even though we think they are. This is why we need transformation. And no wonder, Romans 12, verse number 3, that we should not be thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Why? Because when we come together and we fellowship, there is always something said that someone may say, like, that's a good idea. I need to work on that. And what's happening? The transformation process takes place. I made up my mind a long time ago. I don't care if someone is young, my age, or older. I'm going to listen to them because they might say something that I need. No wonder Paul had to tell Timothy, let no man despise your youth, which means the implication there was probably some older men or women are saying, Timothy, you don't know anything. You can't teach me anything. That's false. I'm so glad that we have some good young men here. I'm not going to name you. You know who you are. I'm so glad you talk and make comments, because you teach and we can learn from you. But when an older person said that, old young whippersnapper can't teach me anything, that's the wrong attitude. Why? Because everyone can teach someone something that's going to help them change. Even a non-Christian can't come to Christ unless they change. That's why they got to repent. That's why they got to hear the gospel. So as we close, transformation for good, so we can truly benefit our community and our fellow man. Why did Jesus go about doing good? He wanted to benefit man. And so every time we leave this place, we enter in to worship, we leave to serve. We leave to go out and evangelize. We leave to go out and edify and build up one another. So thankful to hear the brethren coming together, having little gatherings at their home. Why? Because they want the fellowship. And in that fellowship, you get to talk about whatever subjects, and you encourage one another, and then camaraderie. Brethren, if we don't want to be together, then I have to ask myself, why don't I want to be with my brethren? Is it enough just to come together on Sunday and Wednesday? Shouldn't I have a desire to come together even on other days of the week and talk scripture and talk life? Perhaps you might help me with my wife. Perhaps you might help me with my husband. Perhaps you might help me with my children. Perhaps you might help me to make a better decision based upon the job that I'm occupying right now. Transformation for good. Jesus went about doing good to benefit mankind. We must do the same. So as we seek to meet people where they are, we offer them hope. We offer them a way out. Perhaps we can go out as we go into the community. It's not about just giving someone something. Here, read this. Call me later. No. Sometimes It's about spending time with individuals, letting them know you can do this. You can be great. You are made in the image of God. And I know that the world is saying this, and I've said this before and I'll say it right here again, that this evolutionary mentality that we have been impressing upon generations for the last one, at least two generations, at least one rather, that we came forth from the monkey, from the ape. No wonder people are acting like animals now. All these years we've been telling them you come from the animal. When we go out there with the word of God, the transformed mind, and we tell them, no, you're made in the image of God. You're someone. You can be great. Why? Because you're made in God's image. And so we go about bestowing benefits on our fellow man, granting them and giving them wisdom that comes forth from God, helping them with our speech and helping them to realize that they can be just like God. I said all of that to say this. God wants us changing every single day. Luke 9:23. 1 Corinthians 15:30-31. Why? For good. So whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord for good. Which tells me that if what I'm about to do is not good, and if it doesn't bring God glory, God's saying, Mike, don't do that. Mike, please don't do that. Mike, that's not going to bring me glory. Don't do that. Mike, you're going to embarrass the church. Don't do that. Mike, you're going to embarrass your family. Don't do that. Glorify God. Everything we've talked about all year is designed to transform us. For good. The very reason we were created. And now we have the responsibility, all y'all good looking people in here that love God, go out there and you let those who don't know Jesus for the pardoning of their sins, let them know, you know, God created you for good. You know, when God created you, it was very good. And you know, God has a special people called the Church of Christ, and he created the Church of Christ for good works. Don't you want to be part of that? And it may take you a year to convince them. Some of the studies that we're doing, they're great. But it may take longer than 3 studies. It may take longer than 16. It may take longer. Sometimes it takes years to get through the hardness of people's hearts. But I guarantee you, if you just stay with them, and let them know that you believe in them. And that there's a hope. And that there is something greater than them. They will transform and be great. Who would have thought that Saul would write more than half of the New Testament? God did. We have to believe in God. And we have to believe in people. My mom said this yesterday as we were sitting at her table. Never give up on people. Evelyn said that as well. Never give up on people. It just seems like as soon as you're ready to give up on people, they give you that glimpse of hope and light. You know what? I think I need to stay with them a little longer. Brethren, we're nothing. 1 Corinthians 3:7. He that plants is nothing. He that waters is nothing. God gives the increase. Let's just do our part. Let's be transformed. Those who are not transformed should not be going out trying to transform others. If you're not fully convinced by the word and the will and the doctrine of Christ, you need to stay put until you are, lest you go out and you destroy lives. Be convinced. Be converted. Be transformed for good, that we may be doing good for others. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be transformed. The only way you can be transformed out of the world into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the Lord's church, the church of Christ, It's through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was a sad day on that cross, but it was a glad day for us. You have to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water. Yes, baptism is still essential for salvation 2,000 years after the command went out. It's still necessary. Why? Because that's where you come in contact with the blood of Christ. That's where your soul is saved. That's where God operates upon you. 1 Peter 3:20-21, Hebrews 9:14, Colossians 2:11-12. Live faithful. Live trustworthy. Live a transformed life. And God will do something amazing in your life. He will bless you for the very reason he sent Jesus. Acts 3:26 is to bless us. And he did. Maybe a child of God and you haven't been living a transformed life in your home, in the community, yea, even in your own mind. Happens to the best of us. Praise be to God that he's not like the sons of thunder. Y'all remember that, right? Jesus, should we be like Elijah and call for rain, fire from heaven like Elijah? And Jesus said, do not know what spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Brethren, let us seek and save the lost. But let us be transformed first. As we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.